I believe, and part of why I'm here and why I'm doing what I'm doing, is I believe we're all children of God, and he's given us a stewardship over this earth and over his animals. And he expects us to take care of his animals. And sometimes that means making hard decisions that's best for them.
Stephen Yardley represents livestock interests on the Bureau of Land Management's Wild Horse and Burro Advisory Board, which makes recommendations to the BLM about the Wild Horse and Burro program.
All animals should then be offered for adoption 3 times, and thereafter shall be made available for sale without limitation or humane euthanasia. Those animals deemed unsuitable for sale should then be euthanized in the most humane manner possible.
At the board's recent meeting in Grand Junction, Yardley presented this as part of a proposed recommendation on how to bring wild horse populations closer to what the BLM deems appropriate for range conditions and to take care of the animals in long-term holding facilities. According to agency figures, almost 44,000 wild horses are in holding, which includes short and long-term facilities in pastures. The majority of them are older than 5 years, and about 70% of the program's budget goes to taking care of them. The BLM has been managing wild horses and burros since the herds became legally protected in 1971. The Wild Horse and Burro Protection Act allows for humane euthanization of old, sick, or lame animals and those that have been taken off the range but not adopted. It also allows for unlimited sale, which could leave room for the animals to be sold to slaughter. As KDNK reported earlier this month, Congress has not allocated money to kill Mustangs and burros since the 1980s. But in September, the House passed a budget resolution that would take that language out of the 2018 budget appropriations bill. That means the nightmare that wild horse and burro advocates have always dreaded has come one step closer to reality. Stephen Yardley called it the elephant in the room during the advisory board meeting because for most of the meeting, no one had brought up the subject of killing the animals in holding or allowing for unlimited sale. In response to Yardley's recommendation, Ginger Catherines, representing humane advocacy interests on the board, questioned how those animals would die and who would kill them.
In 2007, BLM had meetings that contemplated destruction of healthy wild horses. And I think that they came up with within 1,000 and 2,000 that they could do a year without violating clean water standards and other EPA acts. And they talked about the psychologists and how many they would have to counsel employees that were told to destroy healthy animals. I think that if we're willing to make this kind of a recommendation, then we have to be responsible for taking part in the deed itself. I can't even imagine it.
Catherine's was the sole dissenting vote on Yardley's recommendation. She believes that money would be better spent on fertility control and on the range management. Catherine's told KDNK that currently only 1% of the Wild Horse and Burros program budget is earmarked for fertility control.
The budget item, if you look at the pie chart in my book as an advisory member, it's $167,000 for fertility control. In the pie chart, it shows up as zero.
The BLM has been studying the impacts of fertility control on Mustang herds for over a decade and has witnessed some success in smaller herds such as Colorado's Sandwash, Little Bookcliffs, and Spring Creek herds. But the agency claims that this does not work for larger herds such as those in Nevada. In 2017, a total of 841 mares in herds across 10 western states were given fertility control drugs. Even if more money goes towards fertility control, the BLM is still looking at what it considers to be an excess of thousands of horses on and off the range. Catherine says the BLM's main management practice of rounding up the horses is the culprit.
Wild horses are reproducing faster because they depress the populations with these big helicopter roundups, removing numbers of horses, putting them away in short and long-term holding. And then the herds, according to the National Academies of Science, and not just Ginger Catherine's, reports that the population is compensating for a low population by increasing the rate of population.
The Wild Horse and Burro Advisory Board passed Catherine's recommendation that $3 million be allocated to fertility control in the future. But if the BLM saves $20 million by phasing out long-term holding and $3 million of that goes to fertility control, how will the remaining $17 million be spent? The BLM has been managing wild horses and burros for close to 50 years, and the agency itself says that management practices are unsustainable. Catherine says that doing the same thing year after year after year for nearly 50 years and expecting a different outcome is the definition of insanity. And she adds that the situation has reached a critical stage.
They're only on 11% of BLM lands. They're only on 5% of public lands. I mean, this thing has gotten blown way out of proportion by people who make money off of our public land.
The Wild Horse and Burro Advisory Board's recommendations also included expanding the adoption program and will be presented to the BLM in Washington, D.C. in January 2018. For KDNK, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.